Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board with us each day. We look forward to having your dialogue and discussion based on the issue that we're speaking on each and every day. We'll be talking about today, Judge Not. I'm sure you've heard that text. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not lest you should be judged. That is perhaps one of the most quoted verses, even more than John 3:16, especially by a lost society or a society that claims to be saved and living in sin. That is their favorite term, their favorite text. We're going to talk about that today. Love to hear from you. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. Are you familiar with that verse? Judge not lest you should be judged. Have you ever had someone to pull that one on you? Or have you used it yourself when you wanted to use a default statement to prevent someone from talking about your sin? What about that judge not lest you should be judged? We're going to look at it from a central biblicist viewpoint today, as we do in each and every one of our issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, it's based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, as he's speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. And further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that is the first, foremost, and the final authority, not what we think, say, or feel, but what God's word says. And that integrates very well with what we'll be talking about today with the text, judge not. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a serious matter that we find ourselves in today, a serious condition as a nation. And if at no other time in the history of America, we need to be concerned about truth today. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. It was former Senator Jim DeMint that made the statement in relationship to truth. He warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. But ladies and gentlemen, it's 15th century church theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I want you to understand each and every day on this microphone, it is my goal, aspiration, desire, and joy to come to you with the truth of the Word of God. As we face issues, it is truth that matters. We need to face the issues based on truth, not based on the Communist Network news, a heresy that is promoted out of the White House, or anything that is said out of Jen Psaki's mouth. She's the lying tongue for Biden, by the way. That's just my terminology for it. You may disagree with that. That's all right. But as we face the issues, let's do so based on truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brands of lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291. 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's the home of the gigantic U.S. flag. Intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Find that 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsforTime.com. ToolsforTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an important subject that we're talking about today. It might seem trite. It might seem irrelevant. It may seem to you that it is a text that is not really that important. But I want us to understand, as I touched on a moment ago, the text that we're talking about today, Matthew 7:1, is quoted more than John 3:16. Hear me. It's quoted more than John 3:16. And generally, it is by those that are the ones that are the critics or the lost person, the advocate for immoral behavior. Those that know the verse and quote it will try to prevent you from saying anything further about their sin. It's perhaps one of the most misunderstood, misused, misabused, misinterpreted text in all the Bible. I must say to you today that in most cases when a critic responds by quoting the verse, "Judge not," the discussion is over. Listen, you may have experienced it. When someone points their bony finger at you, and you've said something about their lifestyle, their sin, their living, and they point that bony finger at you and say, "Judge not," most of the time, if not every time, immediately the discussion is over, or the debate is ended, and you are expected to just immediately embrace the facts of what they're saying and they're doing. You're supposed to embrace and support whatever they say without any further question, without any further challenge, without any further confrontation about their sin. And it's primarily found today in the sodomite community, the sodomite advocate. You say something about their sin, and they say, "Judge not." You're not supposed to judge. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I've got a list of things that we judge that I think I just need to tuck in at this point. You listen carefully. We judge horse shows. Don't hear anybody say, "You judge not." We judge beauty contests. Don't hear anybody saying, "Judge not." We judge cooking and baking contests. Don't hear anybody retorting, "Well, you shouldn't judge them." We judge car racing. We judge between candidates at election time. We look at the restaurant menu and we judge what we're going to choose, what we're going to select, what we're going to eat. We judge as we roll the television dial. We make a judgment decision of what we're going to watch. We judge between people, the individuals we want to marry. We make a discerning decision. That's judging. We judge the job offers. A job is offered. You make a judgment call. You discern. Make a decision. That's judging. We judge between schools and make choices. You get up of a morning, if you wear a tie, as I do, you adjudicate which tie you're going to wear. You make a judgment call. We live today in a society, though, that hates judgment. They hate being judged. They hate being judged for the sin. They hate being confronted with the sin and the immorality and the godliness in their lives. More and more today, we find churches, though, that are tolerant with sin in the churches, and so therefore the churches, the Christians, generally speaking, have lockjaw, if I can use that term, lockjaw when it comes to adjudicating sin. I have with me today Pastor Glenn Davis. Brother Davis and I are going to be talking about this thing of judge not. We're going to be looking at some scripture and making a determination what this text is saying. I believe it's a text that needs to be opened up, talked about, discussed, and decided. But ladies and gentlemen, when a person says judge not, generally speaking, discussion is over, debate is over, the question of the critic is over. Here's an article that says, "Churches hosting drag queen story hour, condemning whiteness. Drag queen reading to children in churches, pastors denouncing sexual purity, and congregants being told they must apologize for the color of their skin. The past few years have been seen churches across the country take a dramatic theological turn, abandoning traditional Christian values in favor of progressive secular values in the churches. One Texas church held its own drag queen story hour recently. This year, a number of churches," this article says, "actively participated in Pride Month, encouraging the LGBTQ individuals to celebrate their abnormal sexual identities. Also recent months, many churches have adopted the critical race theory, which teaches that race is the essential part of one's identity and that whiteness is inherently racist and oppressive. The Myers Park Baptist Church in North Carolina, for instance, is teaching white congregants how to deal with their racial identity and the systems that it perpetuates. Further in this article, it says, progressive Christianity grows. The result of a Pew Research study published in December 2015 found that almost all Christian groups have become more accepting to homosexuality. In 2007, 58% of Roman Catholics, 56% of mainline Protestants, 48% of all Christians said homosexuality should be embraced by society. By 2014, those numbers had risen to 70%, 66%, and 54%, respectively. A majority of Christians now agree that women should be allowed to serve as pastors, including Christianity Today. In June of this year, Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in the country, had the chance to officially condemn critical race theory. The church leaders decided to continue to embrace it. Progressive ideas that run counter to historic Christian doctrine are undoubtedly spreading through all of our churches. Further, it says, what is progressive Christianity? The serpent in the Garden of Eden was the first progressive in the Bible. That's
Amen.
A pretty good statement,
Amen.
Pastor. First
Amen.
Progressive. What did he say? Hath God said. Questioning the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, when you're talking with a person about their sin, when you question them, confront them, censure them, or in some fashion say something that is wrong with what they're doing, that bony little finger points back at you and says, judge not. In other words, it is not appropriate in the mind of multitudes, even among some Christians today, when they're caught and confronted and censured about some sin in their lives. Preacher, you can't judge me. Deacon, you can't judge me. Fellow Christian, you can't judge me. This article says, what is progressive Christianity? It convinces you to live outside of God's boundaries as if, just like the serpent convinced Eve in the garden, as if God was keeping something from you, as if God was really selling you short in some fashion, end quote. Progressive Christianity lies to us by displaying to us a visage, a mirage, or something better when you cannot get anything better
Amen.
Than living within the boundaries of God's word as he set for us. This writer says, progressive Christianity is an oxymoron because man cannot progress past or beyond the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
My.
Finally, this article says, and I find it fascinating. Put simply, progressive Christianity finds its authority not in God, but in culture. If the culture celebrates pride as a virtue, Scripture must then be bent to fit that norm.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what is expected today when a person says, judge not lest you should be judged. They're taking a valid, viable, wonderful text out of Jesus' words in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 7th chapter. They're pulling that out of context, and multitudes today will simply cease, be silent, and shut up when that is quoted, when that is stated.
Amen.
Here's
well, you
another.
Know, Dr. Youngblood, I want to say good morning to my family. Good morning to my grandkids on today.
Amen.
Everyone that's listening, amen. Thank God for you tuning in. Get your pencil and paper, amen. Take
amen.
Some notes
that's
down.
Right.
Amen. Because
if you're driving, don't get your pencil and paper.
Amen. Christians really need to get a grip on this.
You got it.
Dr. Youngblood, because the way you explained that a while ago, how the serpent, not only did he question God, but he attempted to judge God.
That's right.
By saying, had not God said.
Right.
Because God's word is truth, and it'll endure forever. There's not a lie. You will not find a lie or a falsehood anywhere in the word of God when it comes down to what he has promised to his people.
Right, not there at all.
And when we don't read his word and study it like he commanded us to do, Dr. Youngblood, then what we end up doing is neutralizing the power
that's right.
that's available to us through the word of God
Amen.
By not knowing.
That's right.
What's in his word. And if we don't know it, we can't put it into practice.
Mm-hmm.
And see, by doing such a thing like that, we allow the unregenerate to take control and run over us.
Absolutely. That's the
because
problem.
We don't access the power that's available to us through the word of God.
And
Amen.
It's because we have so many immature, anemic, ignorant Christians, ignorant of the Word of God, anemic in the Word of God, immature in the Word of God. We have cemented that's in that category, that when someone, when they do say something to someone about their known, recognized, open sin, then it's judge not, lest you should be judged.
Amen.
That's the bony little finger of accusation that's pointed.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm looking at an article here that says, Christian pastor thinks it's perfectly fine for Planned Parenthood to push sex on kids. This is out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thousands of pro-life Christians in Chattanooga, Tennessee are mobilizing in opposition to Planned Parenthood's plans to encourage sex and abortion among young people in their city. But one pastor has joined the abortion chain in support for the work. And he goes on to talk about the pastor that's done so. And he says this. He said, young people deserve comprehensive, honest, non-judgmental education that prepares them to make good decisions about being sexually active when they are mature and responsible. Now, notice the word there, non-judgmental. That's the same thing that we're talking about today, Pastor, where somehow, somewhere, there's a mindset that if you point out sin, you point out inequities, you point out something that's immoral, ungodly, unholy, unbiblical in one's life, if you look at it on the basis that you're trying to reach them with the gospel, reach them with truth, grow them and nurture them and mature them in the Word of God, there's that bony little finger that comes back, points at your nose and says, judge not.
Amen, amen, amen.
And as a result of that, most people become silent.
Amen.
They sit back in silence in some sense of fear because they think that that is absolutely what they need to do.
Amen. And, but here's what we really need to realize, Dr. Youngblood. There is a great difference between criticizing and judging.
That's right.
When it comes down to a Christian, our judgment, we're supposed to be able to make sound judgment.
Yes.
Or to be able to make the right call on a situation based upon knowledge of correct information.
Of the Word of God. Yes.
That is the Word of God. I'm glad you said that.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Because when we make a call, we're supposed to base it upon what we have read and known and studied.
Yes.
And we know this to be true. We won't take any wooden nickels.
That's right.
Amen. Because we know that that's what the Word of God says. So then we stand on that word. Mm-hmm. But the reason why we are failing on today in the church is because we're not standing on the word.
Not standing on the word.
Amen.
It is the first, foremost, and final thing that ought to be the arbiter of anything that we call truth is the Word of God.
Amen.
I've had the occasion on several times to be able to sit and debate and dialogue and discuss issues personally with people. In some cases, open dialogue as a program in a church. And I tell them, we're going to have the Bible as the final authority. What you think, what you say, what you feel has no value. What I think, say, or feel has no value. What does the Word of God say? That's
Amen.
The final authority.
Amen.
And that's what we ought to make the ascertain what is right and what is wrong. That's what we ought to do when it comes to what I would call censure or criticism or looking at with discretion as to what's taking place. Today's immoral, irrelevant, ungodly society, though, it appears that everyone is doing what's right in his own eyes. And everyone's doing what he feels is good for him.
Amen.
But today, totally, they are disregarding, Pastor, what the Bible says about morals and ethics and biblical values. And sin, as a result of that, is rampant in our homes, in our churches, in our even some of the seminaries, and especially in the political arena today.
Oh, my.
Clearly,
oh my.
Clearly, Jesus is not saying in Matthew 7,
Amen.
Jesus is not saying that we're not to judge.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is not saying that we ought not to look at and analyze and make a judgment call as to what ought to be done. So look at how we should respond. Look at how we should respond today when we look at sin, see sin. Jesus walked into the temple and he saw the money changers. And what did Jesus do? He judged sin.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Turned the tables upside down, took a bullwhip and chased the money changers out of the temple.
Amen.
Now, would Jesus do something that he would not suggest or recommend that we do? No, he would not do that at all.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus says, judge not lest you should be judged, he was not saying that we should not evaluate sin, discern sin. He's not saying that we should not say someone has made the wrong choice or an unbiblical, unethical, sinful decision. So just what is Jesus saying in this very important biblical text? Let me just state as a prerequisite, Pastor, before we get into the analysis and the word study of this text today. The idea that we can neither judge, never judge anything about sin, the idea that we can say can't say anything that's patently absurd in relationship to the sin, To say that we cannot judge is to wander aimlessly in society and the world in which we're living in. The scripture tells us that we should reprove each other, the speaking, especially the truth, speaking the truth in love is what we need to do.
Amen. Amen.
What our society today, though, lacks is righteous judgment.
Amen.
Righteous judgment.
Amen.
What we have an abundance of today is simply indifference. Indifference. And the mindset somehow, ladies and gentlemen, is that you'd go your way, I'll go my way. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. We won't criticize each other. And we just keep on going down the road together. And one day we'll find out who's right and who's wrong.
Amen. Amen.
I believe, Pastor, it's time for Christians to stand up.
Amen. Amen.
I believe it's time for Christians to speak up. And this lost, declining, decaying, darkened world needs to hear someone say, that's sin, that's wrong.
Amen.
We need to stand for that. So let's examine, Pastor, Matthew 7, 1 through 5.
Amen.
Read that for us for the benefit of our listening audience that may not be literate, biblically speaking. So we talk about Matthew 7, 1 through 5. People need to hear the scripture. Then we're going to take it apart piece by piece for as far as we can, the time will allow us to on the broadcast.
Amen.
Read those verses for us, first five verses.
Amen. Says here, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, I'm afraid there's a lot of them today, amen. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Pastor, I have had the privilege of teaching this on the pulpit, the classroom, many, many times in less than 100 years now. And I find it necessary for the audience in each occasion to understand what the word judge means. And as I have taught this several times, I call these first two verses the unique prohibition that's recorded.
Amen.
Unique prohibition. There's a prohibition here. It's found as the directive. Judge not. Let's start with that. Judge not. What's Jesus saying? And I believe for us to understand what he's saying, we need to understand three words from the Greek text that's talking about using the word judge. It's basically coming out of the first Greek word krino, K-R-I-N-O. And then it's anakrino and diakrino. There's three different words that all translated in the English Bible is judge. Krino, we get that word critic today. Critic. Criticism.
Amen.
We're a critic of food. We're a critic of clothing. We're a critic of English grammar. We're a critic of mathematical equations. We're a critic. That is where we get our word critic, to criticize. It means to select. It means to choose. It means to determine. It means to censure. It means to criticize. It means to condemn. And the scripture is very, very clear, Pastor. In verse after verse after verse in the scripture, we'll get to the scriptures in a moment, but it's very, very, very clear that as Christians, we have the responsibility to adjudicate and call sin, sin. We have the responsibility of judging and calling sin, sin. So what is Jesus saying when he says, judge not? First of all, that word is krino, and then secondly, it's anakrino, means to examine, means to question, means to investigate. And then diakrino, it means to discern, means to discriminate, means to judge, it means to decide. So you take all three of those words, and the three of those words have the basic, same, rudimentary, fundamental meaning in relationship to judging.
Amen.
So why is Jesus saying, judge not? Jesus is simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, in the text, there's that directive, judge not. Jesus is not saying that believers are not to examine. He's not saying that believers are not to investigate. He's not saying that believers are not to discern or to question or make a decision. The directive is that believers should not pass final judgment.
Amen.
Why is that so? Why is that so? John, the 12th chapter, Pastor, read that for us. John chapter 12, verse 48. We can't make the final determination and say you're going to hell. Now,
Amen.
Sometimes we might say that, but we can't adjudicate a person to that place called hell.
Amen.
Only the Word of God can do that.
Amen.
Found in John 12, 48. Read that for us.
Amen. Says here, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Jesus is very simply saying, and we can prove that by the balance of the text, Pastor, when you see, judge not lest you should be judged, Jesus is saying, don't you dare place a final condemnation on someone that they're going to hell. Now, we understand that the Word of God is the final judge to adjudicate heaven or hell based on how a person has responded to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
But Jesus is not saying that we can not determine, be a critic of, and discern whether something is sin or not. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Don't want to get so deep in the weeds that you'll not understand and see the grass. So if you want to call and ask your question about this text, wonderful, I'll have you to do so. 831-0917. Have you used that text, judge not, to point your bony finger at someone's face and say, you can't tell me what to do? Have you had someone to do that? How did you feel about it? How did you respond? Love to hear from you in relationship to this text today. Notice the danger, Pastor. Not only is there the directive, but that danger that ye be not judged. Jesus is simply saying, don't pass final judgment because we'll all stand before the Lord Jesus in a day of judgment.
Amen.
And we all will, whether we're lost or saved. Pastor, read Romans 14. Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 10 and 11. Then we'll talk about it after we've read another text in 2 Corinthians.
Amen.
Romans 14, 10 and 11, then 2 Corinthians 10 and 11. It's unique two verses that speak of the same subject.
Amen. Romans 14, 10 and 11. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Amen.
Exactly right. Read again before we discuss it. Then read 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, verse 10 and 11.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11.
2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11. It says here, got that number six. We're at 5:10. I'm still wrong. For we must all, again, saying the same thing, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and our trusts also are made manifest in your consciousness.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, what those two units of thought and those two texts are saying in Romans and in 2 Corinthians is that every one of us will ultimately be judged. Now, for a Christian, we'll stand before the Bema Seat judgment. We'll be judged for what we've done after salvation. For the lost, there'll be the Great White Throne judgment, being judged for not saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. That's using the word judge and judgment in the correct sense and the right understanding of it. And Jesus is saying, for because we must all be careful, for remember, we are all responsible for what we say and what we do, and God will judge each and every one of us. That is exactly what we want to understand. So it goes deeper than that, further than that, because Jesus Christ is not saying that we as Christians should not judge sin. It's not what he's saying at all. There's a prerequisite to the problem of how we do it, when we do it, and how it should be done. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're talking about the subject, judge not, lest you should be judged. Matthew chapter 7, unit of thoughts, verses 1 through 5. Be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.